And I cannot count the number of times that I have been told, we can't do that. I knew a man that the only thing I remember about him was he said, what's wrong with us is our want to needs fixing. And he said that over and over and over. And he was right. It's our want to. If we want to, if we believe that we can do what God says, we can. Speak the same things. I just said it. If we use the same book, if we listen to God, we can and will be united. Now, everybody has opinions. And I, for one, know that my opinions are better than anybody else's. I don't know about yours. But opinions mean nothing when God tells us to do something. It's so important for us to look at the Word of God and to realize what God wants us to do. In John 17, what is truly the Lord's Prayer? Jesus is praying to the Father. And in this prayer, beginning in verse 15, he says, I do not pray that you should take them, that's his disciples, out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Listen as he prays for us. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe on me and me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That last phrase, that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's been so much damage done in trying to spread the gospel by people who can't get along or have to have their own way. And it doesn't make any difference who we are or how good we are. There are times when we're not right. I know the Proverbs writer says twice, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And what we want is the unity of the Spirit of God in our church, in our family. James talks to us in James chapter 3. And I'm reading from a translation that you probably don't have because I particularly like it. Some of you may have remembered hearing it. But this is from the 1901 version of the RSV. And I'll have another passage from it. I like the way it reads. James says, beginning in verse 13, Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life, let him show his work in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is unearthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Read it and drink it in often as you study the Word of God. This is how we can keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then, of course, there is another favorite passage. And at the risk of going over for 30 seconds, I'm going to use the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. I love it so much, and this, of course, is from the same 1901 RSV. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And the rest of it I've highlighted to read. So, love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Translators have a little trouble with that. Love never ends. Love never gives up. Love never goes away. It's all of those. Love never ends. It never fails. As for prophecies, that it will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So, faith, hope, love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. That's where we have to start, and that's where we have to stay. You know, Abraham Lincoln and I were walking along one day. You almost believe that, don't you? And he said, "You see that guy over there? I don't like him. I have to get to know him better." Now, you may doubt that, but just try it. People say, "I can't love this person. This is a person I can't love." No, we go back to our want to. And God has told us to love one another. And He's told us that love is the most significant and important, and He demonstrated it by allowing Jesus to die on the cross for us and saying to us, "This is how much I love you." How much do you love one another? And that's so very, very important. Love is an ingredient that is so precious, that is so good. Now let's go briefly to John chapter 4. Here, of course, Jesus is talking to the woman in Samaria at the well Sychar. And He's done something that just totally unethical. He asked a woman and not just a woman, but a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water. He got her attention. And then she begins to talk to him. Beginning in verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." I've told the little story here a number of times about the little boy and hollering at the man who stopped to help and said, "Hey, mister, are you Jesus?" And asked the question, "Have you been mistaken for Jesus lately?" You know, if we live the way these few scriptures that I'm using this morning teach us, people will see Jesus. They will know that we have been and that we live for Him and in Him. In John chapter 13, verses 34 through 36, Jesus tells His disciples something that is so significant. He says to them, "A new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you. That you love one another." That's not it. "That you love one another as I have loved you. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Some of you probably travel around. Shirley and I have been in many different places. We've been in places, and some of you know how hard it is not to shake hands with me or say hi or whatever, to be ignored. But we've been in places where brethren just, they ignored us. It was like we were not welcome there. You won't find that in this congregation. And I praise God for that. But it's important that we realize that this commandment of Jesus is for us to love each other. Not just a little, but all the way. This is agape love. This is love that says, "I love you." Not "I love you if I like how you look or where you live or what you wear. But I love you." And that's what Jesus did. And then, it may shock you completely to death. It's puzzling me that I'm about done with my notes. Now, I'm not done. I'm never going to get done, as you know. But I'm about to the point of closing our thoughts for today by referring you again to Colossians 1, 17 and 18, where it says, "In Him all things consist." The best word for that is hold together. The word is laminin. You know what something's like when it's laminated.
If you've never tried to take something apart that's laminated, now don't you kids try this at home, but go home and try to take something apart that's been glued together. It won't come apart. And that's what Jesus is to us. He holds us together. I would love to be able to see this congregation find men and their wives who can serve so that we can do a better job using the wisdom of men who have lived for Christ long enough to be able to impart some of those good things. So I'll just use up the 30 seconds that you've got and tell you that my goal many years ago, one of my goals, was to live long enough to work with a congregation that had an eldership where I could be an advisor, a pope, if you will. You would have thought of it if I hadn't said it. No, but to be able to give advice, to be able to help men who are on their knees and in their hearts are doing their best to decide what is right. Not to be able to tell them what to do, but to pray with them and help them. I've been able to do that a little bit, but that dream probably will not take place. So I'll walk wherever God sends me. I don't know where your walk is today. I don't know how close you are to God. I don't know how well you identify with the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But I have a feeling, because I'm looking at you. I haven't even looked at the display up here. I'm sorry about that, Julie, but I'm sure it was good. But it's so important for me to look at you and to realize you're listening. I'm taking up your time, and your time is precious. I love you, brother. If there's any way that you need someone here to help you with something, that's what this song is all about, is an encouragement. If nothing else, it will lift you up. I appreciate Ethan so much. I was going to say something good about his song leading, but then, you know, I'm getting old, so I didn't think of it. Now I did. You did good. You did well, Peggy. Right. Get my grammar right here, so. Would you please come with me to while we stand and sing?